Let's pray. Lord, you have a word for us. And so we yield our attention to you, and we yield our agendas to you. You have a word to give through Jeff. So, Lord, in faith we say that he yields his will to yours, and he speaks what you would have him speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We've been on this journey through the book of James, and the series we're calling Faith Live. And we've looked at a bunch of different things. In chapter one, we looked at trials and tribulations and how we combat them, being slow to speak but quick to listen to what God has to say to us so that we can live out our faith, about showing favoritism and letting go of the dislikes of, quote-unquote, those people. The partnership of faith and deeds and how they have to and they must go together. Otherwise, people will fail to see our faith if it's not backed up with action. We talked about taming the tongue or the fact that it is impossible for us to do so. We need to allow God to have control of it. And last week from Pastor Donna, godly wisdom versus counterfeit wisdom and how important it is to have godly wisdom. The counterfeit wisdom is going to fail us. But if we yield to God, and adhere to his wisdom, life will go much better than planned. So this week, we're looking at James chapter 4. It's page 1174 in your Bibles. 1174. And before we just get started, I don't know if you're one of those of us who still are without power. But we lost power at 8:30 on Friday morning, and we still have not obtained it. And every moment that passes, I get more and more frustrated with O&R. the imagery that Pat just put up there for us, that's how it feels. It feels like the guy in the vice grip just go, any time now. And my trust level is nil. And just experiencing this over the last couple days and just having to just sit and wait. Every time I check the website, there's no information. It just says, we're assessing the situation. And internally I'm going, assess quicker. Just do it faster. And there is an inability in my soul to yield, and it's just humorous, because I'm talking about all this week we've been prepping for submission to God, and the joy of my soul is that is not how God treats us. I love the imagery of the puppies. Thank you, Pat. Now I'm just going to be thinking about puppies all the rest of the service. And I'm just, I'm thankful that God is not like that, that he does not treat us that way, that he is trustable. And so as we look at this passage of scripture, we're going to be looking at three different things, and I'm going to switch the order of how we look at this passage of scripture, because he gives us the antidote in the middle of it. And so the first section there I'm calling, it's all about me. Maybe you're stuck in that rut. We'll try to help you navigate through it. At the end of the passage, lessons in boasting. This whole concept of, I got this, I don't need anybody else, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I don't really need God. And in the middle section, I'm labeling yield to God in conjunction with the whole passage. I think the answer to the question is yielding to God. He uses the word submission. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But if you'll open up your Bibles to that spot, I want to read the first five verses for us, and then we're going to look at that and then navigate through it together. So in verse 1, it says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you do ask, you do not receive because you have asked with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you not think that Scripture says, without reason, that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? And let's just stop there for a second. He's not going to wrap this up in a nice Pastor Jeff tone for you. For the next couple of chapters, he's got this. He really wants this to get through to his listener, the author James. For him, this is life or death. And so he says really strong words to get to their attention. And so as we look through this section, first he talks about fighting and quarreling. And the reason why we're in the midst of fighting and quarreling has everything to do with you. These desires lead to killing. And please understand that the context of what he's talking here is not necessarily talking about physically. But in our minds, there are times when we're so upset with somebody else that inside our brains, we are killing them. Are we not? Okay, it's just me. It's just me. We covet, but we don't get what we want, which then in turn leads to fighting again. When you do ask, you're not asking for the things that are good for you. You're asking for the things you want, for your pleasures, your desires. And so God doesn't want to grant them because it's all about you. This was a problem that was facing the church. It's a problem that is facing our world today. Our motives are wrong, and everything lands on this thing called self. And then he goes into the patterns. These patterns are described, he describes them as worldly. And we might not have a frame of reference for this, but in the context of world that he lists here, it's everything that's contrary to God. Everything that the world has to offer us, which is contrary to God, which leads to fighting and quarreling and coveting and hating your neighbor, all of that has nothing to do with God. It's If we're going to go in that direction, if we act in that direction, Scripture says, it's as if we hate God. That's the mentality. Because God doesn't want us to respond worldly. He wants us to respond through him. It makes us an enemy with God. But the Father longs for the Holy Spirit who he has given us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have received the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't want all of this junk going on in your life. He wants to manifest or unleash the Holy Spirit within inside of you, the Holy Spirit that he has given you, so that you can receive what you need, what you need. I couldn't help but read this passage and think about watching a room full of little kids. If you've ever seen preschoolers in that 2 to 4 range, if you've ever been in an environment where one kid has all their stuff there, and then you introduce another kid to that scenario, it's hysterical. Because the kid comes up, there's a toy, I want to play with it. So they grab the toy and they go over here. And the little kid who has all this stuff sitting there looks at all their stuff and looks over at the little kid who took that one item and sits and does this number. And then leaves the 20 items there, goes over, rips the item out of the other kid, and comes back. Right? Oh, it's so sad, but these patterns continue for our whole lives. We have adult versions of this. I'm sitting there right now thinking about those versions. I don't know what they are for you. I'm just going to leave that between you and God. We have these own versions of these kind of things. April made mention of the yielding in New York State. And Annette and I were on the road yesterday, and we're coming out of the mall, and there's this yield section, and everybody in our lane is supposed to yield. And there's this turn, and all these people over here have the right of way, and they're supposed to go. But our lane is just like, I don't care about you. And we're driving right along, and Annette's sitting in the car, and all of a sudden she took on the spirit of Jeff, because this is my issue, not hers. And she was driving, and she goes, "What is wrong with these people? It is not their turn to go. They're supposed to yield. So she does what you're supposed to do and stops to yield so the other people can go. She's like, and they're like, oh, thank you. They're looking, oh, thank you. And behind us is, ah, 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 ah. And she, it's yield. She's out the window. We have adult versions of this. It starts when we're little kids, and it follows us through adulthood. And it can escalate. It doesn't have to be. It can escalate into all kinds of different things. It can literally lead to murder, but it can lead to murder in our minds when we're treating the people around us not the way we want to be treated. We're treating them out of a me-centered mentality. And so this whole section of scripture, if I could wrap it up in one little bow, it would be self-centeredness ruins everything. When everything becomes about me, I don't even get what I want or need. Because when I fight for it, when I quarrel, when I go after it, it doesn't feel very good in my soul. And so in the midst of trying to get what I want, I end up not getting what I need. And the whole time, the God of the universe is longing for the spirit that he's put inside of me. Let's jump over to the end here in verses 13 to 17. And it says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sinning. In this little section here that he seems to kind of throw in at the end of the passage, like, oh, I forgot to tell you about boasting. I forgot to mention this. This is an issue that we need to talk about. And I, when I was growing up, I had this, I never longed for the future because it seemed like every time we planned to do something as a family, something went wrong. The car broke down or like something would happen. At one time, we finally were going to have a vacation as a family. We didn't go on a whole lot of vacations as a family. When we were little kids, we went camping. We went to this amazing campsite and everybody got ticks. And we just had this, the Salvesons cannot have good things. So the concept for me is really hard to grasp, boasting about tomorrow, because it wasn't something I grew up with. It just wasn't our mentality. My brother just laughed. Yes, this is true. But a lot of times people go through the world, just continue. I'm going to plan this and that. And please understand, he's not saying don't plan. All right, for you who are planners, that's not what he's saying. Keep on doing. God created you that way. Planning is good, right? Some of you are like, preach it, please. I'm a planner. Am I against the button? No, planning is good. But when we do the planning without bringing God into the equation, it becomes about self again. It becomes about self. And then it could be as simple as that, or it could go on to the effect of boasting about how amazing I am. How great I am. I'm just going to boast and I'm going to tell everybody. And that's what he calls evil schemes here in this passage of scripture. Because it becomes all about me. There's a whole series of videos on YouTube where you can watch where people who say amazing things about themselves are doing amazing things and all of a sudden there's an epic fail. And in my flesh, I enjoy that a lot. I love when somebody was like, look at me, face plants. There's a whole series that some of my favorite, when somebody pulls up to a street light and they're following the rules, and all of a sudden somebody plows right through the red light, but they don't see the cop that's sitting right over here. There's a little bit inside of me that goes, yes, get him, get him. Don't wait, James, don't wait for the police officer of this world to slow you down. Yield to God. It will go way better for you. It'll go way better for you. There is a trial that you're going to face in this life if you walk through it without God in the equation. There's a face plant waiting for you. So don't go on boasting about all the amazing things that are going on. Yield to God. And then he leans in to the truth here in verses, or the answer to the equation in verses 6 to 12. So let's read it. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I love that this section here in verse 6 starts with grace. Man, you may be acting completely out of your anger and the things of you. You may be boasting, everything may be about you. And James goes, grace. Grace. Everything about your life can be in complete chaos. You can be running in the wrong direction, and God goes, grace. It can be all me focused. It doesn't have to stay that way. Grace. He gives us not just grace, but more grace. Praise God. And this concept here is not that humility is the catalyst to grace. God is the catalyst to grace. God is grace. But humility puts us in this position to receive the grace that is free for us. We were at the laundromat yesterday with loads of love. And as Jaime said, we were able to help out 20 families, and we have half the quarters still left over. So we can do a whole nother day. I misjudged how much it would cost to do a load of laundry. But we were sitting there, and just person after person as they came in, as we approached them, and some people didn't want to receive that, and that's fine. But there's this one guy right when I came in at noon, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I just want to pay for your laundry. And he almost started to cry. And he goes, I lost my job last month, and I've had 2 or 3 interviews, and none of them have panned out. He did photography on the side, and he's trying to live off of that. Now he's trying to land a job. And he goes, and then I come in here, and you guys want to pay for my laundry. Unbelievable. And he went and sat down after, and he came back to me. He goes, Can I just shake your hand? Can I just thank you again? And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm starting to choke up. You just don't understand what this meant to me. And I couldn't help but think while we were sitting there, as these people brought in all their dirty laundry. And we did something very simple, and God does something very profound. We bring him all our dirty laundry, but we have no quarters to pay for it. And he goes, Jeff, I got this. and he washes them clean. So when we get to this word submission, it becomes a whole lot easier for us. He goes on to say a bunch of different things in this section to kind of help us understand it. All under the theme of grace. Please hear each one of these under the theme and the concept of grace. It says, submit to God. And really the concept here is, I think we struggle with this word submit, right? Because it feels more like the chokehold video that we were shown. And the concept really here is to come under or to yield to trust in someone greater than you. So you're submitting to God in a coming under, allowing him control. I don't any longer have to do it. I'm submitting to him. And when it's a God like the one that I just described who wants to come alongside and take care of all my dirty laundry and junk in my life, man, that is a way easier submission, is it not? When something amazing has been modeled for you. And then there is a part for you to play. He says here, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I don't know if you realize this, but the devil cannot read your minds. Right? He can't. He doesn't understand what's going on. He may understand what's going on in your brain, but he can't hear it. And so James says, Tell him no. When you have that precipice in front of you to make a really stupid decision, you need oftentimes to verbalize the words, no, I'm not going to do that. Who cares if somebody thinks you're crazy and talking to the sky? If it keeps you out of a world of harm, no, not going to do it. Or when he throws all your garbage back at you that God has already taken care of and says, no, that's you're this and you're this and you're this and you're this and you're this. When God has said, I love you, grace, then you can tell the enemy of your soul, no, you don't get to throw that all back at me because my God is bigger than your ugly voice. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. And I think this one gets screwed up a lot. I know a lot of people who have grown up in church or been involved in church at some capacity in their lives, and they say, I just wandered away. I've wandered away, or sometimes we say it, oh, they've wandered away. Well, Scripture also tells us, where can you go from his presence? You can't go anywhere. No, you just turned around. And as soon as you turn back around, he's right there. That the concept of coming near is a turning back to him and realizing he was with you all along. You were just the one in control. And that comes into play too. When we get into this next section where it talks about washing and purifying and crying and mourning, and it's really this concept of repenting. And the concept of repentance is a turn, remorseful for what is going on and turning back to God. And so this whole thing, this whole section here is about humbling yourself before God and turning and yielding to him. You can't go anywhere without God being there. I get this sometimes because people find out I'm a pastor. I'm like, well, pastor, you don't understand. I've got all this stuff in my life. Like, I hear this one. If I came to your church, it would probably get struck by lightning. If I came to your church, it would probably burn down. You don't understand. And I go, no, you don't understand God. You're not going to get struck by lightning. You're going to get wrapped up in the arms of the God of the universe and embraced by a loving God. So just, we say this phrase sometimes in church, let go and let God. And it sounds even corny. I'm sorry, it sounds corny, but it's so true. Just let go of the things that you're holding on to that are about you and turn and yield to God. He is a big God. He can handle them. You have a problem, He can handle it. You're upset, He can handle it. You're in a place where you've gone so far from God that He can't have you or want you or any of that kind of stuff, turn around. He wants you. He wants you. And then in case we miss it all, don't judge your brother or sister. He gives us all these great little tools here, and then we go, oh, look at that person over there. They've got so much wrong with them. And if we act that way towards our brother or sister, we miss the whole part that just came before it. If you're judging and treating your neighbor and your brother or sister with contempt or hurt or pain, you've missed the truth. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't come alongside each other and help one another. That's why I have accountability. I have all these different people that I've placed in my life to speak truth. They're not judging. They're helping me. But sometimes we try to help people when we haven't earned trust, and that becomes judgment. How about we start by earning each other's trust so that we can help one another, so that we can yield to God? And then He gets seen and not us. So I think there's some outcomes in this as we wrap up. I think there's a couple different responses that may be for us this morning. Some of us, it might be all of these. Some of us, it might be one of these, and it doesn't really matter because God. This whole concept of yielding, maybe we just need to choose in to Him this morning. We've been running, and it's been about us, and we really just need to turn around and realize that He is right there waiting for us. And that's that concept of repentance, to turn away from the direction that we've been going and go the opposite. And the opposite direction from where we're going in our flesh is towards God. And then to let Him lead. Maybe this morning, you need to let God lead. For some of us, we've listened to the enemy of our soul for way too long, and we just need to tell him to shut up. We need to verbalize to the enemy of our soul, you don't get to speak to me any longer. And for some of us, we're so concerned about our brother not getting it that we've missed ourselves. And so we need to make a declaration this morning. I'm not going to judge my brother or sister. I'm going to let God deal with me. And when I have an opportunity to come alongside my brother or sister, I'm going to help them and I'm going to allow them to help me. And those are two very different things. So for some of us, we need to stop focusing on what our brother or sister is doing wrong and get ourselves right with the Lord. And then for all of us, every single stinking one of us, we need to receive God's grace this morning. Because He wants to give more and more and more and more. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I haven't even come close to fleshing out that passage of Scripture for us. But Lord, I ask that you would speak to each one of our hearts this morning. Whether we need to yield to you, whether we need to tell the enemy of our soul no, whether we need to stop looking at our neighbor, whether we need to receive grace. Lord, speak to us now with what we need. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.